Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Let's get it started. Spring football previews. It is that time. Nick Alvarez joins us now. AL.com covers the Alabama Crimson Tide. Nick, I've been doing some sort of version of this podcast for a long time, like over a decade. And I have never been able to ask this kind of questions about Alabama, because there are questions about Alabama for the first time in my media career. So let's just start at the top with, you know, what is the general mood in Tuscaloosa right now and about this football program? Are they excited about the future under Kalen DeBoer, or is there worry that, you know, the dynasty is officially about to start seeing some cracks?
I mean, I think, well, first of all, thanks for having me on. And I think, you know, past the initial panic of that January 10th and that immediate aftermath of Saban's retirement, I do think, you know, things have kind of cooled. I don't think anyone I've talked to thinks that Kalen can replicate what Saban did. I just don't think that's fair to him. I don't think that's fair to Saban and what the great run he had. That being said, I do think there are expectations here because, you know, yes, Alabama lost a lot from its roster. They still had a pretty decent roster. And, you know, there's the growth of, you know, Jalen Milroe, some of the underwater receivers that you want to see continue. And, you know, you bring a guy with a great offensive mind. And yes, Ryan Grubb did leave, but, you know, Kalen DeBoer wasn't hired because he was going to bring Ryan Grubb over. He was hired because he's Kalen DeBoer. And on the defensive side, you know, a lot of people are excited to see what Kane Womack can bring from South Alabama, kind of similar 4-2-5 a little bit with some different variations on the position groups. But I mean, overall, I think it is widely accepted that it's a new era in Alabama, and that even comes from the media standpoint of, hey, we're going to get to go to practices and talk to some of the assistants now.
Jalen Milroe was a quarterback last year who I thought, you know, got better as the season went along, and by the end of the year was playing at a really high level. And then he made the mistake of having his worst game in at the worst possible time there in the college football playoff semifinal against Michigan. What is the future for Jalen Milroe? Because there's some people who tell you that Alabama might want to get into the portal and look for another quarterback. But at the same time, I think he's very talented, and I think he could thrive in this Kalen DeBoer offense. What do you see in the future for Milroe?
Yeah, so in Kalen's first press conference yesterday, he said that, you know, someone had to get their reps number one, and that was Jalen. So that answers an early question. And I mean, I won't go as far as to say it's an open competition, but I mean, Jalen was good last year. I also think that there's potential with Ty Simpson, Dylan Lonergan, even Austin Mack. I don't, though maybe not this year, the transfer quarterback that DeBoer brought over from Washington. Mm-hmm. I think Kalen's system should help Jalen with some of the mistakes he made in terms of maybe trying to force a ball into a certain interception. Or we saw it last year with Tommy Rees, when you can kind of get Jalen moving, even though he might not want to do it sometimes, it's dynamic for an offense. And when you can use his speed, and I think we're going to see Jalen Milroe have designed runs a lot more in this system, just because, you know, that's what you can do with a good center like Parker Brailsford, who also came over from Washington. So I think the pieces of Jalen taking that next step are there. But, you know, I would not be surprised if we're talking week one Western Kentucky game and it's like, wow, Ty Simpson or Dylan Lonergan really, really had a good game, and makes it a little interesting for that Wisconsin game and that big Georgia game a couple weeks after that.
Obviously, the transfer portal was not Alabama's friend after the departure of Nick Saban. A lot of key guys made their way to new locations. And so the prevailing thought around college football is that when this next transfer window opens after spring practices, Alabama is going to be one of the key players. How active are the Crimson Tide going to have to be in that window to put together a team that can meet their usual standards?
I think it'll depend what the coaches want in the new scheme and how they want to figure that out. I mean, there is talent at wide receiver. They might want another body, but they also brought in someone from Washington. The defensive backs were a big, really big loss there, and getting Keon Saab was huge in kind of studying that. I mean, there's opportunity maybe at tackle. I would circle that as the biggest need for Alabama, losing both Caden Proctor to Iowa and then J.C. Latham to the draft. You know, it's going to be, I guess, you know, Elijah Pritchett and then, you know, freshman or underclassman going on that right tackle spot potentially this year. So, I mean, some veteran presence there could help. I don't really see them going after a quarterback, probably not a running back. Also, I think Justice Haynes and Richard Young should be able to really pick it up there with the returning Roy Dell Williams. So I would think kind of the big areas would be those tackle spots And then maybe linebacker, because that's what, you know, Alabama needed to get one last year in Tresman Marshall, and they're trying out Jeremiah Alexander, who came into school from Thompson as a five-star edge rusher, but last year due to some injuries transitioned inside. It looks like the new coaching staff is keeping him there. So I think the big name you want to see is a tackle, but those don't go in the portal very often. And then I think like depth pieces to kind of figure out this roster, because they lost a lot of starters, but Alabama always loses the starters. So what Saban would talk about in the past is, you know, the transfer portal is really going to hit your depth. And then this year, you know, all of those things kind of came into play. So they're going to be active. I don't think they're going to be maybe as kind of, you know, on a war path as we may have thought a month ago. But I mean, who knows? There might be a couple players who are there currently who thought about transferring, realize that they don't really mesh with this new system, and then they leave, and that opens more spots. So I mean, it's very fluid. But I think a lot of their kind of core guys are kind of going to be the same come fall.
So with that being said, what are the things you're looking for in this spring to find out about this Alabama team?
I think defensively, you want to know the new names. You want to figure out who's going to step up. When Will Anderson left, it was clear that Dallas Turner and Chris Braswell were going to be the guys at edge rusher. This year, I mean, there's going to be Quandarius Robinson, who players have spoken highly about. There's going to be Quay Rousseau, who was a five-star freshman last year. Keon Keeley, who did not see the field last year and had a lot of hype as a five-star freshman coming in the summer. You're going to want to see who's going to be getting to the quarterback, because in Kane Womack's system, it's imperative that you can get home with three or four. He doesn't like to blitz very often. You want to see the secondary kind of mesh together. That's going to be like probably the biggest departure from what we're used to seeing from under Nick Saban of, hey, these cornerbacks know what they're doing. Very little blown coverages. So I want to know how the continuity is going to work when everything is different, and how they're building up the culture when everything is different. On the offensive side, I mean, the quarterback is the easy conversation, but I want to know. Alabama had speedsters last year. It took them toward the back half of the season to really start opening up the playbook, in my opinion. What does that look like, you know, when DeBoer is known for that high-flying, kind of explosive offense in the air and on the ground? And I think Jalen can do it. So seeing how the new pieces work is kind of a cliche answer, but that would, I would lean with that on the offensive side.
One of the new things in college football that's become a huge thing is early enrollees and freshmen coming in, you know, obviously transfers coming in. Who's a new face in Tuscaloosa that you've got an eye on?
I'm gonna go local. Jalen Mbakwe came in as a really highly touted freshman. I mean, he played quarterback and nearly won a state championship last year. And then he also is a lockdown cornerback, could also maybe rotate in at safety. They're gonna have opportunity in that secondary, like I said. They're gonna need him to step up, definitely. This also might be a bit of a cheating answer, but in the summer, Ryan Williams will come to town. Mm-hmm. And the way they talk about him is, I don't think he's gonna be sitting very long. With a guy like his type of speed, the only two-time Mr. Football in Alabama high school history. He's going to come in with a lot of hype around him, and it's hard not to envision that in a DeBoer-style offense.
At the end of the day with this Alabama team, and you know, this isn't really a spring question, it's a fall question. If they're 9-3 at the end of the year, if they miss the playoff, what does that look like in Tuscaloosa?
I'm not sure. I can't give you a solid answer on that. I will say it's a great year to have a coaching transition like this when you have a playoff and you have some wiggle room. Mm-hmm. Granted, they'll go to Camp Randall week two. That'll be a tough environment. They'll host Georgia, and that's going to be, you know, war on its own. They'll go to Oklahoma. So their schedule isn't as hard as it was last year, but there are some challenges. You got to go to Tennessee. You got to go to LSU. So I think again, it's probably also like a cheap answer, but you want to see what it looks like. You don't want to have, you know, the Louisiana Monroe loss that Saban had. Granted, that didn't really matter much in the end, but it's going to be one thing that fans are looking for, like, oh, here we go again. You want to see if Alabama, honestly, could kind of separate itself in the NIL game a little bit. Not that it has to be, you know, the Texases or Ole Misses of the world, but that was something where, you know, it's probably one of the contributing factors as to why Saban's no longer a head coach. You know, Kalen DeBoer is not going to have the liberty to operate under that same mindset of, you know, come here because you want to be great, and we'll set you up to the NFL. They're going to have to play in this game a little bit more. And You know, I mean, you're even seeing it, the fact that media is opening up. We're seeing some practice footage. We're, you know, hearing that there's music playing in practice, and that's new for around here. So I think there are challenges of Kalen having to separate himself and say, hey, this is what I want to do. And then also, you know, you can't really rock the boat too much because the boat wasn't really leaking. So, like, Kalen kept the fourth quarter, like their fourth quarter offseason training program, which has been a staple since Saban arrived, and helping with Jeff Allen and Scott Cochran. And Kalen kept that. It just so happens that at the end of their practices, they also have a quote fourth quarter period. And other than just like it being kind of ironic that the names are similar, it shows like, hey, this is something that it will be a work in progress. Granted, I don't know if work in progress means you can, you know, lose four games. I would put 9-3 as kind of the, you know, 9-3 with a good bowl win is going to be the you know, the floor, I guess, for a lot of fans' expectations. But I mean, we've seen weirder things in college football. Kalen DeBoer is also known for turning around programs and saying, hey, I'm going to come in and, you know, we're going to do it right. And I mean, with the resources we'll have at Alabama, we'll see how the coaching staff comes together. There's no reason why he can't have something similar, even though it should not be necessarily expected.
Kind of interesting, Nick, in that after this interview, I don't know that I'll have you back on the podcast anytime soon because Mississippi State and Alabama don't play each other this year. And that's kind of weird to me. I was thinking about that earlier, you know, doing these interviews with Auburn and LSU people. And it's that, you know, I won't talk to them again, which is, you know, been a staple for, like I said, for the past decade. So appreciate you coming on and giving us some insight into what should be a very interesting year at the University of Alabama. Nick Alvarez, AL.com, man. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, of course.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.